Last year, more than 15,000 people experienced the services provided by the Opportunities for Housing Resources and Assistance, or the ORA Center, in Ashland. Now there's a new executive director at ORA with a vision and passion for serving some of the most vulnerable populations in the Ashland area. His name is Dan Khanna. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So let's start with a couple of basic questions. What is ORA and why does it matter?
Yeah, well, ORA, you know, it says it all in its name, Opportunities for Housing, Resources, and Assistance. And that's what we do. We provide opportunities for those in need seeking housing assistance or resources for a lot of various reasons in the community.
Okay. And so now you're new here. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about you. What's your story? Where'd you grow up? How'd you get into this business?
Yeah, well, it started in West Los Angeles in Santa Monica area. That's where I grew up and went to high school. And, you know, grew up in a very diverse community and went to UC Davis, got married soon after. And we ended up, my ex-wife and I ended up raising our kids in San Luis Obispo County, Central Coast. I have about 10 years in entrepreneurship, owning my own business. And then in 2008, I became somewhat of an economic refugee. And that took me into the social services. And so I've got about 10 years in nonprofit mental health work before moving here.
Hang on a second. I don't mean to interrupt, but you mentioned economic refugee. I haven't heard that term. Help me out with that term.
Well, you know, in 2008, I had a business, and as a lot of people did. And a lot of circumstances, including the economy, led to a lot of people suddenly losing their job or losing their work or losing their business. And 2008 for me was that. I had a business with about 20 employees that was going fairly well. And in 2008, the building industry collapsed, and that was what my business was tied to.
The building industry?
Uh-huh. We were making glass tile out of recycled wine bottles,
wow.
Interestingly enough, yeah. And distributing it nationwide, and then the community just was really on a growth mode up until that point. And then when that economy crashed, there were just, you know, you can imagine jet skis all the way up the road and RVs for sale. People were really struggling.
Mm. And so you transitioned how?
You know, really, my heart and passion was always in sort of social justice issues. Going into business was sort of a fluke in a way. But there was a big need for social services at the time, and me coming in with management experience and business experience, it was a good fit for a local nonprofit that hired me to become their executive director. And so that job was a small family resource center in Atascadero, California. And it's similar to the services provided by ORA. And I grew that organization from about 6 employees to about 20 when I left, from a local city to countywide. And we were doing a lot of the same work we're doing here, system navigation, youth intervention, leadership development, and working closely with our continuum of care to make sure there's no gaps to services.
So you bring with you a business acumen that is really valuable in this work.
It is, you know, and I find that it definitely comes into play in my planning and organizing. A lot of the business piece is more not just operational, but really trying to solve problems. You know, in business, solving problems is, you know, make it or break it. In social services, the problems are really challenging to solve, but there's a lot of common denominators, which is communicating with people, making sure that you're sharing real data, real information, and without that communication, you're trying to work handicapped.
Right. So, in that communication, you're looking for the core problem, I presume, versus the symptoms and surface indicators.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a lot of passion in social services, and the passions sometimes when they come together, it's a challenge because people draw lines in the sand. And I kind of thrive in that because I'm not looking for the lines in the sand. I'm looking for communication. I'm looking for if there's a point where we need to agree to disagree, then that's okay too, but let's understand each other's point of view. And I think that that's something that's really important to me, is I really want to understand people's point of view and them to understand where I'm coming from so that we can really start to tackle these important social challenges that we're confronted with.
Well, that communication process of understanding someone's point of view, it allows them to be heard.
Exactly.
Makes them feel better when they're heard. And then that allows some common ground for discussion and going forward.
Exactly. Exactly.
So some people believe that faith-based organizations like churches, synagogues, mosques, others have the job of serving the needs of the most vulnerable populations. Now, what is Aura doing that religious organizations aren't doing or can't do?
Well, you know, Aura was founded in churches, like a lot of social service organizations. You know, the churches are one of the main, I guess, foundations. There's probably three organizations, homeless organizations that I know of that were founded in soup kitchens initially. And so what Aura does is it has, I guess, more of a nonprofit operational access to funding that comes down from the state to be able to operationalize what churches do. But we can't do the work we're doing without the churches, without the community, without the volunteers, without the city. And so we're all part of sort of a constellation of services that are important to tackling these issues.
So it sounds like you're a really good community partner.
I think we need to be. It's critical for my job, for sure.
My guest is Dan Cano. He's the new executive director of the Opportunities for Housing Resources and Assistance Center, or ORA, in Ashland. So, Dan, walk me through a typical day. What does it look like?
Well, I'm new here. So right now, I'm in my third week being at ORA. And so right now, there's a lot of learning, a lot of understanding what staff are doing, our eligibility, low barriers to coming into the shelter, and meeting with a lot of our stakeholders. I'm making an effort to contact a lot of our donors to make sure I understand why they're giving to ORA, what's important to them, so that I'm properly representing what inspires them to keep ORA alive. I'm also meeting with a lot of the agency partners that we can't do our work without. We all refer program participants to each other. And so my day-to-day is really a lot of meetings, a lot of one-on-ones, a lot of phone calls, and really working with staff to understand the inner workings of the good work we're doing.
So you're building that relationship and you're learning.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so talk to me about some of the data that you've learned.
Yeah, well, like you said, we there's about 15,000 resource contacts with the community every year that we have, and that's everything from housing assistance, rental assistance, system navigating, but also we want to make sure that we're no wrong door kind of entry system, right?
And so an ecosystem.
Exactly, and so we want to make sure that, you know, somebody that comes in, we say you're in the wrong place. That's not what we want. We want to make sure that we talk to them, understand their need, and give them guidance on where they need to go from there.
So when I see metrics for how many people Aura serves, it makes me think about the desperate need for this work. But how do you know when you've made a sustainable difference, when you've made progress? How do you measure your success?
You know, we measure it. There's a couple of obvious ways, those that come in that we actually get housed. Mm-hmm. Then we have those that come in with 3-day notices to pay or quit. And so we're able to access resources to make sure that they don't become unhoused. And so we have that data. And then there's, you know, data is tricky because we want outcomes. We want to see someone comes in, they get resources. And did they achieve some sustainability? It's tough because, you know, I went to law school, and in law school, you know, there's but for, right? But for us being here, this person would have been there. Right. The but for with humans and social services is sometimes we don't know, but for us, they could have been much worse off. And so our metrics are really developing trusting relationships so that we can work with them to achieve their short and long-term goals, really get them out of crisis. That's what we see commonly as part of our outcomes.
Okay, so you're transitioning people through phases of incremental progress.
Yes.
Towards sustainability.
Yes.
Can you give me an example of a story that has been successful?
Yeah, well, we have one person right now that I was just talking to, Ben, who is our operations director, a person that has been unhoused for a couple of years, got into our shelter for 6 months. We worked to connect them with services, stabilize them, see what their resources are in terms of family, making sure that they're getting the mental health they need, the medical they need. And then we're reaching out to our partners to see if there's any open housing for them. And so we were able to house them just recently. And so now they are in stable housing with the resources they need and you know, have hope.
So it sounds like you have, and I think you mentioned the word constellation of partners, you have lots of networks. Is it just throughout Ashland or is it throughout the Rogue Valley?
No. Throughout the Rogue Valley. There's a continuum of care that I'm still learning about. Every county has a continuum of care, is just part of a funding requirement for a lot of state and federal dollars. And so I'm learning about our continuum of care. But the idea is that no nonprofit can do it all. And so when someone enters our specific nonprofit services, we need somebody who's providing housing, specializing in that. We need someone who's providing the mental health services they need or substance use services. And so the more we're communicating, the more we can provide a clear pathway towards getting them those services.
So you become the traffic cop directing traffic.
Somewhat, yeah, somewhat. And those relationships are critical for us.
So what does it cost to do all this work that Aura does?
Our budget is between $3 and $4 million right now. A lot of that is pass-through money, rental assistance. A lot of it is just the operations of Aura. And we really rely on donations. Our donors are very important for us. And the community in Ashton has been very supportive of us.
So that's good to know. But is Aura's work supported outside of this community?
Yes, absolutely. There's Pam Marsh, who's our representative, has been very supportive of our services, making sure that we're at the table when we need to be. There's a lot of housing money that that comes to us because we're seen as sort of the Ashland housing nonprofit. And so that's important for us to make sure that we're staying at the table and everybody knows the services we're doing and that we're making sure we're sharing that experience with others.
Okay, very quickly, we're running out of time, but what are the hours for Aura through the holiday season, and how can people get in touch if they need your services?
Yeah, our hours are generally between 10 and 2 as walk-ins, and then you can always call. Because we're a shelter, we're open 24/7 for shelter clients, and you can always contact us at our number or www.aurahelps.org.
Okay, well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thank you, Dan, for joining me in the studio today.
Thank you.
My guest was Dan Cano. He's the new executive director of the Opportunities for Housing Resources and Assistance Center in Ashland.